to talk to you today about what I think are probably the most difficult areas of all to stay straight in, our integrity and our morality. As the song we just heard, Scott just sang, it's so easy to make promises, isn't it? It's so easy to say we're going to do something and not follow through. That has really become, I believe, sort of a standard way that we operate. In fact, people will often ask you, when you say, well, you said you'd do this, they'll say, is it written down? If you have it in writing? It used to be that a man or woman's word meant something. Today, it really doesn't mean anything. We realize that we can get out of almost anything we say if we decide we don't want to hold to that anymore. Marriage is a good example of this. If you were thinking of getting married and you came into my office for some advice, let's just pretend for a moment that instead of marriage, I'm a doctor and you're coming in for a physical exam. So you come in and I take all these tests on you, and then I come back to my office and we have a consultation, and I look you in the eye and I say, well, I have to be honest with you. And you can tell that I'm pretty serious. I say, you really basically hear the facts. You have a 50-50 chance to make it. 50% chance you're going to die, and 50% chance you're going to live. Now, my friends, those aren't very good odds. People don't bet on those kind of odds. And yet that's what our standard in America has become for commitment. Vows don't mean anything anymore. Oaths don't mean anything anymore. Because we become a society that puts our passion before principle. It ought to be the other way around. Principle ought to be before passion. But we've turned it around. And so one day, we're feeling really good. We're feeling really confident about a decision. We go for it. We make it. We tell it and declare it in front of a whole bunch of people. And usually most people now today, before 5 years is over, they're not together anymore. Why? Why? Has marriage gotten that much more difficult than 50 years ago? Personally, I don't believe it has. I do believe the pressure to end it is greater today than it has ever been. Marriage is a challenge. No matter if you're a single person here today and you're thinking of getting married, I want to share this bit of advice with you. If you're not ready to do it for the next 50 years of your life, don't consider it. You know, you see, most people, nobody really sets out to have their marriage end. Everyone sets out with good intentions. But what we must do, what we must understand, is that integrity is the character that persists under trial. Integrity is an individual who, no matter how difficult a situation becomes, they are determined to find a solution. Now, there are definitely times when it's just not going to work out. And there are definitely reasons the Bible gives for divorce. But my friends, we become a society of convenience. We become a society without any integrity. And it follows us into our business world. It follows us to our schools. It passes on to our children. And I share these things with you today, first of all, because I'm concerned. I'm really concerned at where I see society going. And as we talk this morning, you're going to get, a clear picture of what's really going on today in the world we live in. It's not necessarily a pretty picture, but it's an honest one. And it will help you know how to steer clear of the cliffs. Because I want to tell you, I see people crashing all the time. Sort of like crash and burn. And you know, we really can't afford that in our life. Life is too precious to waste. Secondly, I share these things with you today because I care. I care about each and every one of you that come here to Evergreen Community Church. And it's our desire that your life's successful. It's our desire to help you, to support you, to give you the guidance and direction that has stood the test of time. We live in a changing world. We live in a very changing time. There aren't set rules and guidelines. We just do whatever we want under any given circumstances. And I've seen that. I've talked to the children, many here in this congregation, whose parents didn't stick it out. My parents didn't stick it out. My father just decided when he was 42 years old, he wanted to move on to other things in life. I want to share something with you. You don't move on to other things in life. If you say you're going to show up for work, you show up for work. If you say you're going to help someone, you help someone. And if you tell that woman or that man that I'm going to love you till death do us part, for better, for worse, for sickness or health, then my friends, say it and mean it, or do not say it at all. That's very important that your children grow up with that kind of sense of security. And it's very important for society's sake that we get back onto that track. That we get back on. I mean, people don't think anything today of adultery. We don't think anything today of immorality. In fact, most people don't even know what immorality is. You become actually an oddball to stay married or to stay moral. I mean, if you're a virgin, people are going to laugh at you. It's as simple as that. You're weird. You're out of step with society. But I want to tell you something. You're not out of step with God. You're not out of step with God. And God will see to it that He blesses your life. God will see to it there's a payoff in your life. I want to talk for just a moment about the moral standards of our society. I was watching an interview the other day with Joan Collins. Now, I don't know what all of you think of Joan, sweet Joan. But a lot of people admire her and look up to her and think she's wonderful. Just kind of like a lot of people look up to Donald Trump. And a Donald man, he's a go-getter. He set out to do something and he did it. Now, I want to comment to you on both these individuals because they're out in the limelight, but they really symbolize the rest of Hollywood, the rest of what we tend to admire. Joan was being interviewed by this woman, and she was talking about her new love. And so the interviewer was asking her, "So tell me, Joan, what is it like to be in love? What is love?" And I thought, "That's right, Joan. Why don't you tell us all what love really is?" I mean, Joan, you're so wise in all this. Joan lives out what she was on Dallas. I mean, what she was on Dallas, that's what she is in real life. And we think these people are so intriguing. You know the bottom line about these folks? Sad to say, but it's the truth. Is they've broken almost every standard and rule that God ever gave. And they make a living doing it. I remember the night JR was shot. The world stopped to watch Dallas. To find out who did it. The ratings that week were pulverized every other station because everybody wanted to know who got JR. It's like, hey, JR deserved it. He looked like a slime ball. The guy was a moron, a trash bag, a jerk. He treated people like they were dirt. And yet that show was popular for years and years and years and years. Now everybody wants to tour the Dallas house. My friends, that's how far off the beaten path we've gotten. That's how far down the line when these are the people who capture our admiration and our attention. Good old Donald. Wonderful guy, isn't he? His devoted wife, and he's messing around on her. And I watched one interviewer and he said this. He said, hey, you know, wait a minute. It's a standard thing for a man with that kind of money to have a mistress. I mean, you've got to expect that. Oh, really? Do we really? We've got to expect that. But that's what America's come to. It's vogue to have an affair. There are books in the library, you will get them, on how to have a successful affair. See, I'm on the other end of this. I'm watching all this happen. I'm watching what's happened to the young men and women that I deal with that are headed into marriage and they get married and all the problems they have because of their immorality. But let me give you a simple example of what we're doing today in society. We're telling our young people, don't do drugs. Say no to drugs. Say no to drugs. When it comes to sex, and there are more sex addicts in the world than there ever were drug addicts, and immorality has devastated women and men more than drugs or alcohol will ever do in this country. It has devastated their conscience. It has devastated their ability to relate to the opposite sex. And it makes it very difficult to stay married. Very difficult. So, but here's what we do. The people who kids look up to, the teachers, the principals, the politicians, everybody, we tell our young people, say no to drugs. Now, sex, that's another story. What we do is we educate them about it. So we put out the table and we lay out the condoms in 10 different colors. In fact, I heard the other day they come in a variety of flavors. And then we lay out the IUD and we lay out the pill and we educate them how to use it. Now here's exactly the kind of mentality that is. Now kids, really drugs aren't, you know, they're your options. I mean, think about it for a moment. I mean, it's really not a good thing to do, but if you're going to do it, now I'm going to show you how to use this heroin needle. This is a heroin needle. Right, now you take this rubber, see, and you wrap it around here really tight, get this vein out here, and then we insert just like this. You want to do it carefully. You want to make sure it's a clean needle. Okay, now let's move on a little bit. So let's take this crack, for example. Now, if you're going to use it, you need to do it safely. So make sure you got a clean little tube here that you put it in, that glass jar, okay? And don't pass it on to nobody because you might get sick. My friends, we live in a society that is lunatic. Absolutely ludicrous. We tell our kids, say, no to drugs. And teen pregnancy in this country is ruining one young person's life after another. Because no one stood up and said, say no. Is there any more peer pressure to have sex than to do drugs or get drunk? Not when I was in school. No more peer pressure at all. There's no more peer pressure at all. The problem is, you see, is that we put Hollywood out of business. And we put musicians out of business because there's not much else they sing about. And there's not much else that movies are about. Somebody's having an affair. You never watch The Hero? The hero's never really a hero. He's helping all the innocent people. And he's messing around on the side. And so we become so schizophrenic that we don't even know the difference between right and wrong. And so today, with all of our education, all these wonderful educators telling us, we need to put more money in education. We need to educate kids. Now they want to educate your children between 6 and 8 years old, sex education. We've got to get them earlier. Yet they've been getting them earlier every year for the last 15, and teen pregnancies have quadrupled. They have quadrupled. And sex has just become status quo. It's just happening all the time. All the time. And it's ruining people's lives. You know it. You're experiencing the effects of it in your marriages. You experience the effects of it. Sometimes you don't even realize because you don't know how good marriage could really be. You don't know how good life could really be because all we see out there are people who are messing around. That's all we know. And so we've gotten used to the mud. What's happened today is we've become like the little frog. You take a frog. And if you put him in a pot of water, and it's cold when you start, the frog will do, he'll just stay in there. And then if you turn the heat up slowly, he'll just stay in there. And then if you turn it up more, he'll just stay in there. And then you turn it up all the way, and you know what happens? You kill the frog. Because the frog has become neutralized. And we as people in America have become neutralized to the crookedness going on about us. I mean, it has become vogue in Hollywood to have a baby with someone you're not married to. That is cool. I mean, Cher's interviewed it. Oh, I'd love to have a baby. Maybe with so-and-so. I don't know. Maybe with so-and-so. They make a good father. They make a good breeding stud. Think about it. You don't even know whose kid is who anymore in Hollywood. And they're the ones that are shaping people's minds and people's attitudes and people's morals, and it's affecting our society. It's affected us. And it's time that we take a very close look at what's going on around us. It's time we ask ourselves, my gosh, is this the way we really want to go? Is this the way we really want to head? Is this the world, this the society that you really want to bring your children up in? What are you going to teach your children? What are you going to say? What are you going to be an example for them in? We need to provide an example of integrity and morality in the world we live in today. It is not cool to have an affair. It'll destroy your life. It'll destroy your life. I'd like to read you a proverb this morning out of Proverbs chapter 7. This is one that I think about. I've gone over this with my son already, who is 9. Love wisdom like a sweetheart and make her a beloved member of your family. Let her hold you back from visiting a prostitute, from listening to her flattery. I was looking out the window of my house one day and I saw a simple-minded lad, a young man lacking common sense, walking at twilight down the street to the house of this wayward girl, a prostitute. She approached him saucy and pert and dressed seductively. She was the brash, coarse type seen often in the streets and markets, soliciting at every corner for men to be her lovers. She put her arms around him and kissed him, and with a saucy look she said, "I've decided to forget our quarrel." You know, it's interesting to me, that passage right there. It describes about every woman you ever see on MTV. You don't have to go to the street corner anymore. In fact, you're standing in the grocery line at the grocery counter, and the woman on the front of Cosmopolitan magazine, this is exactly what she looks like. The brash, coarse type, dressed seductively, seen often in the streets. You don't have to go to the street anymore. I decided, forget our quarrel. I was just coming to look for you, and here you are. My bed is spread with lovely colored sheets of finest linen. Come, let's take our fill of love till morning, for my husband is away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him, and he won't return for several days. So she seduced him with her pretty speech, her coaxing and her wheedling, until he yielded to her. He couldn't resist her flattery. He followed her as an ox going to the butcher, or as a stag that is trapped, waiting to be killed with an arrow through its heart. He was as a bird flying into a snare, not knowing the fate awaiting it there. Listen to me, young men, and not only listen, but obey. Do not let your desires get out of hand. Do not let yourself think about her. Don't go near her. Stay away from where she walks, lest she tempt you and seduce you, for she has been the ruin of a multitude. A vast host of men have been her victims. If you want to find the road to hell, look for her house. This, I believe, a picture of where we've gone as society, both men and women. This is just a warning of the devastation that immorality can bring to your life. And yet, you watch the Grammy Awards, and the singers that win the awards are the ones that sing, "It's my prerogative. If I want to use a girl and leave her, if I want to do it to her and leave her, it's my prerogative to do it." And so women in our society have simply become, use them, abuse them, and throw them away when you're done with them. And that's what's happening in our society. That's why abuse is up. That's why violence against women is up. Because they're nothing more than an object in our society today. And I want to tell you something, ladies. Men don't set out like this. I want to tell you something. We don't set out to have this mentality towards women. But I remember, I want to tell you something. I wish sometime they would show regularly on television the commercials that used to be on TV when I was a kid, when Leave It to Beaver was on, and the commercials they show you today. You know, like the Bugle Boy one? The Bugle Boy one where he walks in with his towel on, he's looking for his clothes, and they're all gone. And you don't know if they're married or not. Chances are they're not, because that wouldn't be cool. Wives don't buy their husband's Bugle Boy clothes. So he's walking around, you know, and where's my clothes? And he looks over at all these wonderful gift wrap packages. You know it's pretty tough for married people to afford all those nice boxes like that, you know. So she's opening up all these, he's opening up the box, and she's standing in the door with just a shirt on. Try this one on first. It's beautiful, isn't it? That's the kind of things that we are hit with all the time. Every day you're driving down the road, you're standing in the Holiday gas station, you're standing in line for this, you're standing in line for that. Can't even buy Sports Illustrated anymore. You get the swim nude issue. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, you know, I'm into lingerie, I don't want to buy swimsuits for my wife. And yet, they'll show a woman advertising, "I'm buying this for my husband because he loves sports, and oh, is he really going to love the swimsuit edition?" And I'm just being really, really honest with you today. Our society has gone bonkers. We have gone absolutely crazy. And now the sexes don't even know how to relate to one another. There is so much tension between men and women today. There is so much struggle. We've forgotten even how to relate. You're going to need some guts, some courage, some intestinal fortitude to stand up today and be counted. I remember when I was a salesman, I was selling some auto parts. That's what I did for a living. For some reason, I'm not sure why, it just seems like in the auto parts industry, sex is everywhere you go. It's on the calendars, it's on the wrenches, it's on the fuel filters, it's everywhere. It's like mechanics need a break from the hood, so they look up their calendar. I don't know what the deal is, but it's just everywhere. And I worked for this company, and I worked a straight commission, and basically as what I did, the company did, and if I didn't do nothing, the company didn't do anything. So it was my reputation that was at stake. And there's a verse in the Bible that says this, a good name is to be desired above riches and money. A good name is more desirable than anything else in the world. Your reputation is the most valuable thing you have. And once it's gone, usually it's gone for good. And so, I remember this one particular time after I'd been there about a year. I got these calendars from one of the companies we represented. They put our names on them and we were to give them out to our mechanics, to the people we called on. And I thought, great, you know, finally they're giving... I worked for a really cheap company. They're really chintzy. Now, finally, this is really great. They finally are doing something neat, you know. But I got to give my guys something. I open them up and it's these girly calendars. I shut the box back up. I got on the phone. I didn't call my direct boss because he was like, you ever seen Boss Hogg? He's like Boss Hogg. He looked like Boss Hogg. He acted like Boss Hogg, except he didn't have a sense of humor. He meant it all. He just clubbed. He'd hit you. He punched the president's lights out one time at a sales meeting. He weighs 385 pounds. But they couldn't fire him because he owns major stock in the company. He's worked, see, 33 years, so he kind of like half owns the company. So I didn't call him because he's an irrational man. I called up the vice president of the company, and his name was Ken. I said, Ken, I said, this is Mark. Well, Mark, how are you? He said, Ken, I'm doing fine. I said, listen, I got a little problem I'd like you to help me with. I said, what's that? He said, well, listen, I got some calendars today. See, there was two boxes. One had old cars. Now, that's what you ought to be handing out. We're in the car business, not the underwear business. Okay? So you got to get these old cars, I said, I don't know here. I got these calendars. I said, I really appreciate your thoughtfulness. You know, it's nice to have something to give to our customers. But I said, you know, Ken, I'm not in the sex business. And this company is built, this store is built on my reputation. And I'm not going to do anything to injure that. So you can have them back. Oh, he was very apologetic. My mom, oh man. See, they knew, you know, that I was sort of a straight shooter kind of a guy. I never talked to them or anything. They just knew. He said, you know, you weren't supposed to get those. Yeah. See, in fact, we got the cars just for you. You were supposed to get all those. So I said, you know, guys like antique cars and women. I'd rather they liked antique cars, you know. And so here's these calendars. And he said, well, you just send them back. The next morning, I get to work. And I got there about a half hour early, and Boss Hogg was at the door, man. And he like got in my face, what do you mean you're not going to hand out these calendars? You sure are going to hand out these calendars, or you're fired. And I just stood there and looked right him in the eye. I said, Don, I'm not going to hand out the calendars. If you want a pathetic, perverted reputation, Don, you can have one, because my friend, you've already got one. And I've had to overcome your pathetic reputation out in this territory. And secondly, you're making money off me, so you're not going to fire me. This territory's doubled in the last year that I've been here, and you get a piece of the pie, Don. If you want to end that, then fire me. But I'm not handing out these calendars, and nobody in this store is handing out these calendars, and you can take them back with you. And you and your salesman can do whatever you want with them, but I'm not passing them out. And finally, I said, Don, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Take the calendars and do whatever you want with them. But I'm going to hand them out. And he left. Took them and he left. I found out about a month later that they almost fired me for that. And you know what? I could care less, my friend. And I want to ask you this. Is your integrity more important to you than your job? Is your integrity more important to you than your job? Are you willing to lose your job for doing what's right than to compromise and keep it? What about life? Are you willing to live life that way? I promise you something. You live life that way and you will advance in today's world. Today's world is looking for men and women of integrity, of incredibly high moral standards. They want it. See, they don't always know they want it. It's just that when they see a person come along with guts, with courage, that says, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do what's right. I want to tell you, they make a way, walk away cursing you. But inside they go, man, I wish I had the guts to be that kind of a person. To be that kind of an individual. I want to share with you just in closing, really what's the secret to staying straight in this crooked world. I shared with you last week the importance of God's Word. But in closing, I want to share with you this week something just a little bit different. The book of Proverbs says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The problem that we have today is we no longer respect God in our society. Whenever men and women do not respect God, then you know who they do respect? They respect their self. And they respect what they think. And they respect the ideals of man over the ideals of God. And whenever that happens, a society is doomed. We started out as a society some 200 years ago respecting God first. And today, we respect man first. Let me share something with you, ladies. Do not ever marry a man who respects you more than he does God. Do not ever marry a woman who respects you more than she respects God. Because there are going to come tensions in your life, and you better make sure that the bedrock in their life is their respect for God, their fear of God, their willingness to do what God says in the pinch. You may say, you know, Mark, why should I even care about God? Well, let me ask you this question. If you were up in a hospital and you were dying and I gave you one of my lungs or I gave you one of my kidneys and then you got out of the hospital and I put you back on your feet, I gave you $1 million, I put you into business, I kept you going, I provided you with a car, I provided with you things you needed to live. I'll tell you something, chances are you'd listen to some of the things I had to say. Now let me put life in perspective for a moment. You know all the lakes that you enjoy in the summer? Well, God made them. And He gave them to you. You know the body that you enjoy? All the mobility, all the things that it does? Yeah, you decided one day, I think I'll be born. And you just hatched, didn't you? You didn't do anything by your own power. God called you into being, and He made you, and He knit you together in your mother's womb. And if He hadn't done it, you wouldn't be alive today. He gave you a heart, He gave you lungs, He gives you air to breathe. He balances out our universe. He gives you the sun and the mountains that you enjoy. Everything you have, God gave you. Everything. But you know what we become like in society? We become like that just in Jesus' day. We become like the lepers. The 10 lepers Jesus healed. I was thinking about this the other day. My own life. So easy to be ungrateful. And Jesus heals these 10 lepers, and out of 10, one of them came back and said, Lord, thank you. When was the last time you thanked God for what you have? When was the last time you lived like you were grateful to God? God deserves your respect. God, all He cares about is you. Did you know that? God doesn't care about rules. It's kind of like, hey man, you stepped out of line. That's not what God cares about you, and He set up guidelines so you'd be safe, so you'd be secure, so your life would be successful. That's God's desire. His heart beats for your success. And then on top of everything God gave to you and I, everything, He gave us His Son. Wasn't good enough that He gave us life. It wasn't good enough that He gave us this world to enjoy. Then He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for all of our crookedness. For all of it. For every single bit of it. And He died for it. So we could get rid of our guilt. So we could be forgiven. So we could experience real, true life. The Bible tells us that those who fear God will have a full, happy life. And by fear, what I'm talking about is not being afraid. Not, oh, you're just scared to death of God. It means you respect God. It means you respect what He has to say. You realize that, hey, you know, God knows what He's talking about. if the inventor of the Maytag washer decided to come over and help you fix your washer, you'd probably listen to him. Well, no, I know what I'm doing. You ever watch little kids? Little kids are the perfect example of our adult mentality today in America. They're real little, no, want to. My little son, want to. Whenever he says want to, he means, I want to do it, and I don't want you to do it. And he's trying to fix something, and he's getting frustrated because he don't know how to do it. And you go, well, here, I'll help you, son. Want to. Want to. Little kids are classic that, see? We think we've matured out of that. Unless we fear God, we haven't. We're still doing, want to. Want to. Want to do it my way. That's kind of how we live life. That's why, my friends, listen very carefully. That is why there is so much pain in our world. People have asked me, Mark, why does God allow so much pain in our world? I want to tell you, God didn't allow it. We have rebelled so much to the point that most people's existence is pain. It was never God's idea that we hate. It was never God's idea that we're immoral. It was never God's idea that we lie and steal and cheat. That was never God's. God's idea was that we love one another, that we care about one another, that we'd respect Him, that we'd do what He said, that we'd trust Him because He loves us and because it's obvious to us that God loves us by everything He made. Do you realize that if God decided not to make it rain for the next 7 years, we'd all die? It's as simple as that. We'd all die. And God could, He could just go, no more rain and no more sun for 7 years. We'd all die. God cares about you. He wants your success. And if you will get into His Word and find out what He wants, I promise you this, you'll succeed. I want to end with a story. A true story that shows how integrity pays off. There was a man in the Old Testament, his name was Joseph. And Joseph had a bunch of brothers that hated him. Obviously, he didn't grow up in a real positive environment. They hated him, and they decided one day to kill him. So instead of killing him, one of the brothers kind of was compassionate. This is what the world considers compassionate. Instead of killing him, they sold him as a slave. That was compassion. So they sold him in Egypt, and he's about 16 years old. He gets sold into Egypt, and he doesn't know the language. He's never going to see home again. He doesn't know what's going to become of him. And this man named Potiphar buys him. Potiphar's a rich landowner in Egypt, and he puts him to work in his home. And Joseph is what we would call a stud. He was good looking. He was a tremendous man of integrity, faithfulness, responsible. You could count on him. Potiphar's wife, I don't think the marriage was going too well. And she took a liking to him, strong liking to him. Of course, Egypt was kind of known for this anyway. And she wanted to sleep with him. And she asked him time and time and time and time again. And he refused. One day, she grabbed him, sort of threw herself on him, and he ran. He didn't stay, he ran. You ever ask yourself, what would you do in that situation? Are you prepared? What would you do in that situation? Well, anyway, here's what Joseph did. He ran. He left his coat, and he just took off. She felt humiliated. She felt scorned. So she told Potiphar that this Jew that you brought into my house, that's exactly what you said. She said, this Jewish slave tried to rape me and violate me. And so for the next 13 years, Joseph spent his time in prison for being falsely accused because of his integrity. But Joseph, he understood God, see? And he didn't get bitter, and he didn't get frustrated. You know what happened? 13 years later, good old Joseph, at 33 years of age, is ruling Egypt. God takes him out of prison. He interprets Pharaoh's dream, and he's Pharaoh's right-hand man. And he could have done anything he wanted to Potiphar or Potiphar's wife or anybody else. He was a man of integrity. I want to share something with you. God is over this planet, and God is sovereignly over your life. And if you will be a person of integrity and morality, I'll make you a little promise. God will exalt you. God will exalt you. He will see to it that you grow in influence. He will see to it that you're promoted in your job. He will see to it that your life succeeds in ways that other people wish theirs could. Because God says, those who honor me, I will honor.
Let's pray.
Lord, we thank you so much.